Morning. Thank you, worship team. That was really great. So this morning, we're going to be sharing a little bit about joy, the third week of the Advent. So start it off there while I'm getting ready. I just want to play the video there, guys. Technical difficulties. Sorry if any of you are offended, that's not an explicitly Christian video, but as far as I'm concerned, that should be the motto of the church. Probably all of us have known some people who are downers in Jesus' name that seem to have some kind of strange idea that being a Christian requires you to be serious and somber all the time, and I can't agree with that, so. My kid's favorite music video, so I'm very happy about that. All right, so like I was saying, as far as I'm concerned, joy should be one of the defining traits of the church. When we look through the fruits of the Spirit, it is the second one that is listed, and only love comes before joy. I think a lot of times in the church, we don't see that joy, that we see people who claim to have the joy of the Lord, but there's very little evidence of it in their actual lives. There's definitely many reasons for that. A lot of it's, the church suffered through a long time of legalism in the name of holiness, and that there's the idea that kind of anything fun must be of the devil, because obviously the devil loves fun things, or I don't know what the thinking behind it is, but for a while, movies, cinemas, swimming pools, skating rinks, kind of anything you could think of was considered evil. I got my Bible college was from the Church of God, and that was their official stance up until pretty recently. Like, they didn't believe in even wedding rings because it was outward adornment, or I don't know. So my great uncle gave my great aunt an accordion instead of an engagement ring. I don't know how that worked on the wedding day, if they passed that back and forth. Or fortunately, that church has moved beyond that, and they aren't legalistic to that same point. But a lot of times we as the church, and then there's obviously a lot of times there's tough stuff that happens to everyone and can make it hard to feel that sense of joy. There's a friend I went to school with. She, in the last few years, she's lost her father and her mother. So this time of year, when it should be all about joy and love and happiness, it can just remind people of some of the hurts and what's missing in their lives. So this morning, I want to share a little about why we should be able to feel that sense of joy anyway. I'm going to bring the PowerPoint up there, guys, and start there. I mean, skip right to the second slide. When I think joy, that's what I think of. That was Michael when he was probably a year old. I think you're in Winnipeg, and Asia was with her friend, so I was kind of taking him out. And as you can see, he was having a fun time. All right, let's go to the next one there. So turn to your Bibles. You got in there Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be a few different passages, kind of a couple verses each, but 5, verse 22 and 23. It'll be up on the screen there if you don't have time to turn there. It says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Like I said, the joy is right near the top of that list. I think, the Christian church, we're getting to the point where we recognize love for the most part. I think that joy is starting to come along. I'm going to talk this morning about how to keep our joy when trials come, when the things that we don't want to happen to us, and what we can remember to help remind us that I think joy is a choice that we make. It's an attitude that we can choose to have or choose not to have. But the first thing we can remember is that Jesus, the Savior, has come. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They're terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that'll bring great joy to all people. the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. What the angel said is that this was an incredible message of joy, not just to the people of Israel, he said, to all people. That wasn't just the special select few that God had chosen, but this message was for everyone. Those who had never heard of the God of Israel, those who didn't practice the same beliefs, but Jesus came for those people too. And that this incredible message, that this guy came here to save us from all that was torturous, our sin, from death itself. And that was this incredible message of joy that came. As you see, the shepherds, they were so excited, they went running off the fields. They abandoned all their sheep, their livelihood. They just left it behind and took off to see what God had told them about. And this incredible message that last year when I was speaking around Christmas is the message of Emmanuel, that God is with us. And that God is not separate from us. He came to be a part of us. And there's just something about that always just strikes me, that God is not separate from us. He broke through the walls. There's just such incredible joy behind that message, that this almighty, all-powerful creator of the universe came to relate to average people like us, the people he created. He formed us with a word, but still values a relationship with us. I had a friend ask me recently why I have my faith, and I had to think for a second. Is it because my parents told me, or is it because of something that is my own experience? And what I came to realize is that it is because I want to have a relationship with the God who's powerful enough to create the universe, and he desires a relationship with me, and that's such an incredible thought that how could you deny that? The second reason to keep our joy is that trials build our endurance and our character. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. James says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So Paul says that when you run into trials, it should be an opportunity for joy because of what it produces in our lives. And that produces character, it produces perseverance, and that those tough times in our lives help us to grow. So even though it's certainly not fun when it's happening, it's not something we're typically going to enjoy, important to remember that those times are there for a reason. And that all those hard times are there to build something in us, and that God is using that. And if we let him, he can use it to make us into stronger people. And reason number three, you now have incredible access to God's presence. Hebrews 12, verse 18. "You have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, and whirlwind, as the Israelites did at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast, and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, 'I am terrified and trembling. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel.'" A lot of people, they like to ignore what happens in the Old Testament and focus only on the New because we're not under the Old Covenant. But when we don't pay attention to what happened in the Old Testament, we don't see the contrast in how incredible what Jesus did is in the New Testament. And then when you see the difference between how the people had to approach God under Moses, where they couldn't come anywhere near the mountain where God was. Only Moses was allowed even anywhere close to God's presence. and that they were fearing for their lives, because they knew that if they came anywhere close to that, they would be struck dead on sight. And now we come to this point where God welcomes us openly into his presence. And that thanks to what Jesus did, there's a new covenant between us, that Jesus is mediated between us and God. And that in order for a covenant to work in the Old Testament, there had to be blood. So when Abraham made his covenant with God, they sacrificed animals. But now there's a far greater sacrifice, the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that allows us this eternal opportunity to enter right into God's presence. And then instead of seeing all the sins and all the things that separate us from him, all God sees is this clean slate that Jesus has given us. And the next reason that we know the ending and we win. That, spoiler alert for any of you who haven't finished your Bible yet. Revelation 19, verse 6 to 8. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of a mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. There's this great moment coming where God triumphs over evil, where he defeats the devil, completely wipes him out. We get to have this amazing dinner with God where we're, like it says, we're dressed in fine linen, that we aren't, he doesn't recognize our sins, he doesn't recognize all the things we've done, but we have this opportunity to have this amazing opportunity with God. That he doesn't see those sins, but he sees the good that we've done. He sees, more importantly, what Jesus did. And this is an opportunity for great joy, in that we know that tough times are absolutely going to come. We have an enemy. The devil is here to do everything he can to take us down. But we know that in the end, doesn't matter how much he tries, he's fighting a losing battle. That the war has been won. And that Satan's doing everything he can to take down who he can with him. But we know that he's not going to triumph. And that when we feel down, when we feel dejected, when we feel overwhelmed, that the end of the story has been written. The conclusion is no longer in doubt. It's not even going to be a close fight. As soon as Jesus comes down from the sky, it's over. That's not to say that we're not going to be sad at times. It's not to say this attitude of joy is not putting on a fake smile and pretending that everything's okay when we're feeling broken inside. It's to say that we can recognize that in spite of everything that is happening, we can choose joy, that we can choose to recognize that in spite of everything that's happened to us, in spite of whatever's going on in our lives, that there is still reason for joy. And that when we see God working in our lives, it says that one of the fruits that he'll produce is joy. Strangely enough, he doesn't say that there won't be any problems. He tells us, in fact, he guarantees us that problems will come, that we will face trials. But he also tells us that he'll be there with us as we face them. And that we have the opportunity to see joy in all those circumstances. That was a short message, but I think that's all I need to say this morning. So this morning, like we like to do every week, we want to give you the opportunity that if you do not know this joy that comes through knowing Jesus, that we want to give you the opportunity to do that this morning. That there is this incredible opportunity to be in a relationship with the divine, that this I just can't describe how incredible that opportunity is that this all-powerful being desires an intimate relationship with each one of us. So with every, you bow your heads and close your eyes. If there's anyone here that wants to pray that prayer this morning, go ahead and raise your hands. We'll pray with you. If there's anyone that wants to come forward for prayer that feels the need to just feel an outpouring of God's joy, come up and we'll pray with you here while the worship team kind of closes us.
As you were ministering the word, I just felt the Lord say there's two things that happened here this morning. One was the outpouring of his love, the outpouring of his joy. And what does that equal? Peace. What does that equal? Peace. And I sense that here this morning, that there's just a still, and I love what you shared this morning, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so as we do close, we are here to pray with you. If you want some prayer, we will pray with you. Never leave thinking, oh, I should have went up. Go up. Hear what God wants for you, because I believe God wants to move in a mighty way in your life this morning. And when you allow him to do that?
Would you stand with me? And we're going to end with a little celebration. Are you guys ready to celebrate? I mean, we've been doing a lot of celebrating. So I'm thinking, you're not tired yet, are you?
Not yet.
I heard a few groans out there, perhaps. Well, would you join with me as we sing?
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Reaching for your
the Lord is my
As you leave today, I did hear a little bit of a challenge. I think it was a challenge anyway, to see whether or not a song will actually stick in your head all day long. And so we're going to continue with just one more song of joy, then we'll dismiss you. You guys ready? Here we go. Born unto us this day, a Savior, gifted from heaven to a manger, hope of the world. Christmas time. So lift up your voice and sing out His praise. It's Christmas. Born is the King. Rejoice in this day. It's Christmas. Make a joyful sound. It's Christmas. Let His praise resound. It's Christmas. Do 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 Walk in joy this coming week. Would this be a season of joy? That is our prayer for you. If anyone needs prayer, like Pastor Ed said, you're welcome to just come to the front. We'd love an opportunity to pray with you before you go. Amen.
Thank you.
Stop.